the great Nina Simone with I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free. This is from her 1967 album, Silk and Soul. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we pick up from where we left off with each other on Friday. I hope you had a restful weekend and took it easy a little bit. Give it some time to sink in that you can relax a little bit. You deserve it. And here you are, fresh and ready to go on this Monday afternoon. All right, what are we talking about? I want to make some comments about the situation in Haiti, where we have yet another unpleasant development. We have a gang of, well, they're gangsters, organized as a group of gangsters, and they allegedly kidnapped up to 17 people, including five men, 7 women, and 5 children. The FBI is said to be assisting, but not leading, negotiations with the kidnappers, who are demanding a ridiculous amount of money in order to let their captors the captives go. I don't know what it is with Haiti, but I do know that it is just descending into hell, deeper into hell. And there seems to be no immediate response or resolution to this overall matter, not to just to this particular situation, but overall, in general. What the state of affairs is in Haiti is miserable. As you recall, the president, the late president, Jovenel Moïse, was assassinated in his house. His wife also was attacked. She was nearly killed. And by a group, an organized group of military types from all over the place, the United States, Central America, South America, the Caribbean. And we still have no explanation as to what this group was about. Who are they? Where did they come from? Who armed them? Who funded this effort? We still have no clue about that. But we do know, we saw the results of that with people by the tens of thousands picking up whatever they could from their homes or wherever they were living at the time, and braving a world they do not know in order to secure their safety. Americans saw it as people under the bridge, but that was not people under the bridge. That was a desperate cry for help, and they are doing this. They still continue to look for help from the United States principally, but other places as well, to resettle into somewhat of a more peaceful, orderly life. But the situation in Haiti is not good. And I don't know why these people always import. I'm talking these people, meaning all throughout the Caribbean. It's the same thing. They import the worst traits of other countries, the worst kinds of practices, the worst ways of thinking of their fellow countrymen. They're just behave in a way that nobody in the Caribbean recognizes this as normal behavior, or as the ways that they expected people raised in these cultures to behave. But that is besides the point right now. The issue is that 16 Americans, one Canadian, have been kidnapped. They were kidnapped on Saturday after visiting an orphanage in the suburbs of the capital, Port-au-Prince. They are affiliated with a religious group, and their explanation is this is the work they do as part of their commitment to God, which is to make the world a better place. And they felt that it was important to reach out to Haiti and contribute to the turning around of this country, which is completely out of control. They're based in Ohio, and they're called the Christian Aid Ministries. While here, I might as well make a note of this. The Caribbean, Africa, India, these countries and continents have not had a pleasant history with people who say, in the name of God, they're coming to help. They're coming to improve things. But the people have a different explanation for that. I'm not suggesting that this group, Christian Aid Ministries, was such a group. I'm saying that what is abhorrent is the conduct of these young men who are part of this terrorist group. They're calling themselves a 400 Mawozo gang. Everywhere in Haiti now, because the entire island has descended into chaos as a result of repeated failures by government, that's principally to be logical and to pursue growth and to bring people back to a sense of how things used to be, a sense of calm, a sense of cooperation, a sense of neighborliness. All of that has vanished. And they've taken on the decidedly Western way of operating, which is terror. Young men, probably as young as the sons of many of the people that they are terrorizing now, or even younger, have spread out across Haiti and taken charge. And they regard these areas that they've taken over as their property. This is their turf. And they're doing unspeakable things. And now the great game is hijacking and taking entire neighborhoods under their control, extorting money, mistreating people, killing others. This is terrible. So I see what probably could happen. And what might happen is a coalition effort. The Caribbean has no military to speak of. It doesn't. It has something that poses like a military, but there's no military there to speak of, to take on these kinds of jobs. But this development encourages another evil, which is people organizing outside of Haiti, countries, individuals, whoever, organizing outside of Haiti to go into Haiti to literally conduct war against these groups that have popped up. Nobody will win. Nobody will win. But it seems for the moment that there is going to be no talking, no negotiating. It's all about terror and using innocent people as pawns. This is so upsetting. And these are black people doing this to their own fellow citizens. It is so disgusting. I can't even talk about it. Young people patterning themselves after American street gangs. And going completely outside the notion of a civil society. They're almost begging. They're almost begging for a major confrontation. Yeah, let's shoot it out. Let's see who wins. Nobody wins. That's the whole point. Nobody will win. The loss is to Haitians and Haiti. Nobody will win this fight. So I don't know how this is going to turn out, but every Haitian friend I have that I've talked to, they're in mourning practically. They can't believe what is going on. Their sorrow is so deep. But at some point, there has to be a solution, a resolution of this, and it won't, in my view, it will not be peaceful. It won't be peaceful. The young folks who are the gang members who are in charge of various pieces of territory who have taken it over and extorting their own people and treating them horribly, they think it's a joke, like what they see in the movies. They think that this is, well, you know, we tried a little something, but it didn't work. No, it doesn't do that. It doesn't work out that way. You get shot and killed. You bring the country already teetering on the brink of extinction all the way to extinction. And then it's a constant rebuilding, a constant patching up, a constant trying to catch up. This is not the way to live. But this is the way Haiti is living now. And as I said, I could see nothing good coming out of this. Nothing good. Evil has taken over Haiti, and it is winning. The question is, whose job is it to fix it? How will that be done? Can it be done? And here we see a very good example of people who say they don't like violence and war. Okay. Well, in this situation, you're dealing with people who have no respect for life. including their own. How do you go about restoring order? How do you save people's lives? How do you give hope, even the bleakest hope, so that the country can rebuild itself? How do you stop this vicious cycle of self-annihilation? How do you do that? How do you reverse the psychology here? I'm important, and I know I'm important because I have a gun. I have a rifle. I have an AK-47. I could kill people and nothing could happen to me. That's the reality that Haitians are living with every day now. We would be really crazy to believe that the solution does not include counter-violence, even more violence. We'd be crazy to believe that. This is not a situation that will be negotiated at a table. It's way past that now. The whole country is enveloped in this crisis of mutual destruction. So, it troubled me all weekend, and not a single one of my Haitian friends that I talked to is hopeful. Not one. They can't see how the situation has unfolded, aiding and abetting the deterioration of this country, the looting of this country, the complete exploitation of its nationals. And now we have the entire country becoming fiefdoms of gangs. And the war is now two-sided. Gangs are fighting each other, and they're also fighting and killing innocent people. There is no easy way out of this. And there is no way, in my view, that this can be resolved without military type action. There's no way. But you see, in the world, Haiti is reviled. It's ignored. It's not a real place. It's a place of jokers and pretenders and looters and crooks. That's how Haiti is seen now. And this has been going on for years. So there is very little incentive, not even psychological incentive, to say, well, we're going to form a large army made up of troops from all over the Caribbean and the United States, if it comes to that. And we are prepared to conduct a protracted campaign to restore some kind of order. Children, old people, they're all getting killed. And these jokers with guns are having the time of their lives. look how we could terrorize everybody. We've got the weapons. We could do whatever we want. We could make demands, and they'll have to meet them. As this latest demand for $17 million. You're not a human being when you reach that level. But still, this has to be solved. What is the solution? I have no idea. And in that, I join lots of other people who have no idea. Because these people are not interested in talking. They're not interested in logic. They're not interested in reasoning. They like the idea of raw power coming out from the barrel of a gun. They like the idea that they have the power to dispatch people, taking summary action. Well, kill him, kill her, kill that child over there. They love it because they're that sick. But at some point, I believe that their violence would be met with other violence. And Haiti becomes a totally chaotic situation where there's a total absence of logic, of well-meaning people together saying, we can't continue this way. Of influential people putting themselves on the line, it's not going to work that way. This is a whole different breed. These are terrorists. These are terrorists. Haiti is in the hands of its own homegrown terrorists. What is the solution? What is the solution? It's not enough for us to be sad or even angry. That's not enough. What is needed now is courage. To see the situation as it is, and to anticipate what has to be done, and how long it would take, and if it is at all possible to restore peace and prosperity to Haiti. Is that possible? And what would make it so? The other thing I want to just mention here for your comment, what is your sense of where we are as a nation, having experienced a full term of Donald Trump's presidency? Was he good for the country? What would you say was his most significant accomplishment? How is President Joe Biden's administration resonating with you so far? More positively than Trump, or less so? And I gladly welcome, because we had that as the focus of our program yesterday, but we weren't able to take all of the calls that came in about the death of General Colin Powell. So we'll try and squeeze in those of you who can call in and you want to say something. But let me say something up front. People have a habit, and it's one that irritates me. When you have a death of a prominent person, a worldwide known person, whatever the person was, he was, or she was, the person is dead. This is not the time to pile the negatives on the body. Have some courtesy for yourself. The person is dead. They don't care what you say now. But it is not, it doesn't sound good about the people making comments that would tend to diminish the person and act as the final statement that another person has of that person. That's not good form. If you have nothing good to say, say nothing. Especially not at this time. Whether we like it or not, this is still a person of great stature, considered so all over the world. And it is not good form. It just isn't good manners, if you will, at a time like this, to be negative. If you don't have anything to say positive yet, hold on. If you have only negative things to say, don't. Refrain for your own dignity's sake. All right. The number to call is 888-874-4888. I've put some things on the table for your consideration. Let's hear what you're thinking, because this is what this program is for, to invite you into the conversation and to invite your participation and your insights. I made that comment about Colin Powell, because yesterday we had people who had the opportunity and the advantage of having access to radio waves, but chose to be negative at that time when we were talking about the man's death. You'll have ample time to do that. It wasn't necessary to do that then. I'm not saying don't do it at all, because, you know, I'm a diehard Colin Powell fan and I took personal umbrage at it. I'm not. It's just good manners. I grew up with good manners. You know, you don't start, you know, lighting fires under the dead because it's an opportune moment for you. Think about what you're saying and think about your timing. Let some time go by and then you can call attention to all kinds of things. But it is not good form, and I like people with good form on our program here. We are polite. We act like we have good manners, and let's do that. Let's not join the carnage. 888-874-4888. What have you to say about anything I've mentioned so far? Let's hear it. Let's see who's up first. I always like to invite people into the conversation, because you never know what people are thinking. You never know. And it pays to listen. It pays to pay attention and to see what other views are. But we still must observe good form. We could disagree a lot that's okay. I grew up in a large family, and it seemed as if most of the time we were disagreeing with each other. But it was not like that, literally. It was, are you making a good point? Should I listen to you? Are you making sense? All right. Once more, 888-874-4888. I don't see any calls yet. You're getting old. You're getting slow. What's going on? I thought you had your Wheaties every day. And you're in good shape. Let's hear what you have to say. The situation with Haiti should really concern us, and we should pay close attention, very close attention, and try to find ways to help on this side. We don't know what's going on the other side, but if you feel that you do and you have ways to help, please help. The people really need help. And what they're going through, nobody should go through. We should try to help. Let's take this break, and then we come back right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Latrice Lead. And I put some things out there for consideration. Apparently, nobody's considering it because I don't see anybody on the board. Okay. The number to call is 888-874-4888. We have quite a few things that you could be talking about today, sharing your ideas and your thoughts. And we have people eager to hear what it is you have to offer. 888-874-4888. Okay. It's important when we have an open session that we use our time well. And you should always keep in mind what a great opportunity it is to be able to share your thoughts. Nobody's telling you what to say, what to think. But it is important to take advantage of the opportunity to exchange your points of view. You may have a very relevant point of view, a very necessary point of view that we need to hear right now. But unless we hear it from you, we could only just imagine or conjecture. But when we hear it from your mouth, which is to say from your brain, we have to respect that. You're offering an original thought for us to consider. There's no right, there's no wrong. There is really what makes sense. And the opportunity to ask you further to elucidate. Darby from New York, you start us off today.
Yes, thank you, Patrice. You covered so many.
I'm not hearing you very clearly. You need to talk directly into your phone.
Okay. Can you hear me now better?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. You mentioned so many topics, and I can comment on some of them, and I think I would like to talk even about one that you brought up last week when you talked about racism in America and so on. But first,
let's talk about what we talked about today.
Okay. With Haiti, I have empathy, lots of empathy for the Haitian people. I think that the marauding gangs that you're talking, are you referring to?
Yes.
It's the underbelly of us as a people. Basically, You have to realize that I remember this sports figure got fired once for saying that the sports commentator, that we were bred, you know, and as we come out of this diabolical enslavement thing that they had us in, and if you keep breaking people's legs as they try to stand up, eventually they will never be able to stand up. And I think that's what's happened in India, in Haiti.
And, my question was, what do you envision the solution to be?
Well, the solution is, it's hard. It's hard, but I think we are, and I'm not Haitian, but I'm Afro-American. I don't like the term African-American, but that's another story. Anyway, I think that the solution is we need to take control of our own destiny. And we have a tendency to hope and believe that we are going to be rescued by someone else. Now, I'm...
But does that mean? When you say, it sounds good, but what does it mean? What does it involve when you say we need to take control of our own destiny? Be more specific.
Okay, I think that we need sort of a conservative government like the gentleman Duterte in Philippines, or even I'm, like I said, relatively old. I remember Papa Doc, even though he probably was a puppet for the Western governments, but still, you need someone to extract and to dominate the people to the point that we become more submissive to our
What are you talking about? What they have lots of right now and in the immediate past. That's what they have had all their lives.
Well, it's not working, I should say.
Okay.
And if you had the opposite of that, would that work better, you think? Now, what you've had with the right wing, these are more or less puppets for the corporate world that runs everything. And I don't know. I think we have to take responsibility for our own destiny, and maybe we are not teaching well. It's the same thing in America.
Okay, you're not answering the question. Being very vague in general. I laid out what the scenario very quickly, what the scenario looked like in Haiti right now. What do you see as a workable solution for right now?
Well, to alleviate the crime, it's hard. I think the only way to do that, more or less, is to create an industry that will support the people in their lives. Then you would create an alternative for the people to live.
Yes, but that doesn't... You do appreciate that this is a state of emergency. You do appreciate that.
Of course.
So time is of the essence. You can't have long-term planning for right now.
Well, you cannot flip a coin and hope that it goes on the other end. It won't change like a switch. You would have to start with the basics and thrive from there. It will take a time to turn the mores of
all right.
what's happening.
I hear you, but I'm saying to you, we talk in two different languages. This is what is happening right now. People are dying like crazy and being killed. It is a state of emergency. What ideas do you have? What workable ideas do you have for right now? What should happen in your view?
Well, that goes deeper than my, I think that right now, like I said, I think that military need to more or less control the population to the point that, you will control the gangs. As you said, that these gangs, how are they supported? How are they more or less getting the guns? And I see basically, this happening all over the...
All right, well thank you very much for your ideas, but you see the problem we're having. This is an emergency, a super emergency, and we have to act like it. We have to act like it.
Yes, I don't see the, America has ran in there before, again, passed even the UN peacekeeping. It didn't work then, and I don't know. You're right. I don't have an answer. I'm sorry. I really don't.
No. Don't apologize. I mean, this is not your specialty. We're just asking. But thank you very much for contributing. Mohammed from
you.
New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, you trees.
I'm not hearing you at all.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, a little bit
okay,
now.
Okay, good afternoon. I sincerely hope your health continues to improve.
Start a conversation about my health. Don't let my health be the focus of your concern. I'm living. So
that's just a comment.
If you hear me on the radio, you know I'm alive. Okay.
Okay.
I thank you for your good wishes, though.
Okay, thank you. I have a comment to make right quick, and I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to get on with my point.
No, you're not going to do that, because I don't know what your comment is.
I'm just going to say that you said something that our prophet taught us. He said, speak well of the dead or not at all.
There you go. Okay.
Okay, now, just going to Haiti, for example, it's not for us to try to tell the Haitian people what to do. In my particular discipline, we believe in self-determination. Haiti has enough wise and intelligent people to work out what they need to do. They need to plan, organize, set some goals, and the United States need to stay out of other people's affairs. Everywhere they go, Libya, Afghanistan, Iraq, when they leave, everything is in chaos. And we should let the Haitian people do it. They have wise and intelligent people. They were an independent nation before we needed a minute.
May I bring this to your attention? That was the point I was trying to make. They are so overwhelmed right now, they can't seem to do it.
They will figure it out. They have wise and intelligent people among them, and they'll come together, they'll organize, they'll unite, and they'll plan, and they will resolve their problems.
You're not
listening every people
to me. You're not listening.
In the land.
There is no time. They're out of time.
I respectfully beg to differ on that point.
This is a super urgent situation. There is no
That's
time.
True. So I would just respectfully beg to differ with you on
that. Thing?
They do have time. They will figure it out. Gangs come about as a result of not having support. When things are in chaos, they don't get the support they need, then they go to their peers and they form gangs. the Haitian people will figure out themselves if the international community or America and the European, like the Canadians, the French, will stay out of their business and leave them alone. Now, let me let someone else contribute.
All right. Thank you for calling in. 888-874-4888. This is the dilemma. Time. There is no time to proceed in a methodical way to tackle the issues and to solve problems. This is, you have to hit the ground running, and even if you can afford to run before you hit the ground. John from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hello.
John?
Yes, are you? I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, but I can't hear you loud and clear.
Really? Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Listen, you know, initially I called up because I wanted to make a joke. But it's not a joke. It's a horror. It's a horror that we instigate every time we get involved in anybody else's business. Even when we involve our own business. We, in fact, put our own country out of business. Thank you, Bill Clinton, Bill and Hillary. I was going to say, yeah, the way we should handle this is we should send George W. Bush and Bill Clinton down there and let them straighten out that situation. You know, and while they're at it, they could rip them off blind, which is what, in fact, happened when they had the first earthquake there. I can't explain how awful we are. We're such an awful people. Makes me wonder why anybody wants to even admit to being an American.
But you're not answering the question. You're using
question,
rather
oh, well, then we should,
joking
we should
around.
Send the Marines
what
in there. We'll send the Marines
answer?
In there and let them deal with it. Okay? That's what we should do. That's the way we deal with everything. We send in the Marines, we crush everybody, and make it turn out the way we want it to be. That's what we're trying to
do. How long
right
are
now.
You prepared to have the Marines stay in your plan?
they're going to have to be there forever. Because if I know Haitian people, they don't give up. They're a tough lot of people, and you have to respect them for that. They're smart, and that's probably why we want to get rid of them, because they're not afraid of us. But they're small in comparison, so the odds are not with them at all. It's a sorry state of affairs that the world is in right now, and I wish I was... If I thought praying would help, I would. But that's, you know, I often wonder whose side he's on.
I thank you very much for your contribution today. You too. Folks, it is vitally important when you are asked a question to get a good idea of what is expected as an answer. By what I mean by expected, it means that you have a cogent response. I'm asking you about apples and you telling me about oranges does not help the situation. You're either prepared to answer the question or you're not. But this is what I mean, and I've been doing this for a while, saying to people, know how to use the medium. Just about everyone who responded today is off point. I'm talking about something very specific. I outlined it. I asked it. I reinforced it. And I'm getting, you know, answers from all over the place. It means you're not listening. It means you're not listening. That is the point of a program like this. the answers, it's not just the questions of the host, the answers are the education that we can depend on. And if we're not getting people to listen to what we expect as a cogent response, if we can't do that, there's no point. We're not here to blab our mouths. We're here to tackle serious questions. And by now, we should have a very good idea of how you answer a question. These were not broad questions where you can take about 100 different ways to answer them. This was specific. Specific answers, you know, were expected. You didn't get that. So I would urge for the immediate future that we concentrate a lot on what is being discussed. What are the key points that were hit on? And what can I say? How can I address any of those points? Pick one. Pick all. As long as you are on point. Meandering is wasting time. And it is beneath you to do that. You shouldn't want to do that. The questions are asked because I am absolutely sure you have something to contribute. But if you're not listening to the question, you don't know what is expected of you in an answer. It is vitally important to do that. That is how conversations go. That's what Q&As are about. Statements are made, a reaction is given, but it is not all over the place, and it's not fun time. It's not a joke. We're not discussing a joke here today. So I was expecting cogent responses. I didn't get them today, but I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. We'll come back to other serious questions tomorrow. And I don't want you to feel that I'm chastising you. That's not what it is. It's to make you far more efficient in helping us understand what it is you are trying to deliver to us, or delivering, as a matter of fact. What you are delivering to us should be easily understood, directly understood. We shouldn't have to get a flashlight and go look for it. Okay? So we'll meet up again tomorrow. Thank you so much for making such a strong effort today, and we'll talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye.